All right, Rabbi Say, good evening. Good evening. Incredible schus to be able to begin Erev Shabbos Kodesh with a little bit of Torah. Baruch Hashem, after such an overwhelming, uplifting, but such an overwhelming day, I want to begin by thanking our sponsors. I thank our Talmud Torah sponsors, Avram and Shane D. Kelman, for dedicating all the Sherman Trushos this month, our Week of Learning sponsors, Dr. and Mrs. Gavant, in honor of Dr. Gavant's reaching an age halfway between a Zikna and Seva, Yaakov and Monica Luxembourg for dedicating the Week of Learning in the merit of a complete and enduring refuah for Eden Shalom Bas Ben Alta Breina, and our Dafyomi sponsor, Jason Lalonde, in memory of a refuah shlema for Chana Risha Bas Esther Cherna. And we thank the Oppenheim Mishpacha, Yitz and Shira Oppenheim, for dedicating this year tonight, as well as tomorrow, in memory of Yitz's grandmother, Gittel Bas Moshe, whose yard site is today, to the 10th of Av. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, the family's a Nechama. And I will say with that, let us begin. So we have a beautiful daf ahead of us tonight. Today's daf is Kuf Mem Bav. We're gonna move a little bit this evening. So we're picking up on the bottom of Kuf Mem Hamad Beis, 145b. And we are looking up, remember again, we're talking about this discussion that was occurring between these three Rabbanim regarding why is it that the Yom Tovim in Bavel were better than the Yom Tovim in Eretz Yisrael. The Talmidei Chachamim of Bavel dress nice on Talmidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yochanan was sleeping or was dozing in the beginning of this conversation. Then he wakes up and was a little bit dismayed about what it is that he heard. So the Gemara says as follows. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchok. So we are on Kuf Mem Hamad Beis 145b, 2-4-6 lines up from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, In L'chol Kol Regel V'Regel Shelo Basa Bolesha Tzipori. Every single Yom Tov that came, a troop of soldiers used to come to Tzipori. So we'll say, remember, Tzipori is Eretz Yisrael. So it's pointing out, why is it that Yamim Tovim in Eretz Yisrael were not as joyous as in Bavel? Because apparently in Eretz Yisrael, they were mamish targeted for attack on Yom Tov. Amar Rabbi Chanina, In L'chol Kol Regel V'Regel Shelo Basa Tveria Agmon the Kamton Ubal Zemora. And again, so Rabbi Chanina says, every single Yom Tov in Tveria, there was an officer, a governor, a troop, the army, there were always attacks. There were always attacks around Yamim Tovim. Apparently the Jewish community in Bavel was not subject to these types of attacks. And therefore Yom Tov in Bavel was more joyous than Eretz Yisrael. And why is it that Mitzuyon, why is it that the Talmidei Chacham of Bavel dress nicely, they adorn themselves all elegantly, whereas apparently the Talmidei Chacham of Eretz Yisrael don't do that? People say this is incredible. Because Lemaisa, they're not in their natural locale. The Amri Inshi, Bimasa Shmai, Bela Masa Tosvai. Listen to this phrase. Bimasa, in my city, my name is enough. But when I'm not in my city below Masa, Tosvai, I need my clothing. So I say, isn't this an incredible idea? So in Eretz Yisrael, people know that Talmidei Chachamim, so they don't need to adorn themselves in any special garments. Bavel is alien soil. Is alien soil. So because it's alien soil, Talmidei Chachamim have to adorn themselves with beautiful clothing. So the Gemara goes weiter. Habayim Yishari Shakov Yotzis Uparach Yisrael. Tani Rabbi Yosef, Eilu Talmidei Chacham Shebavel, Sha'osin Tzitzin Uprachim LaTorah. Because lest you think that the Talmidei Chachamim, because you must remember again, the initial answer that was given is why do the Talmidei Chacham of Bavel have to get all dressed up in nice clothing? So remember again, there was a pretty derogatory answer that was given because they're not real Talmidei Chachamim. So they have to look the part even though they don't really actually actualize the part. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying that's not true because based on the Pasuk says that the Talmidei Chacham, the Torah scholars of Bavel, make beautiful flowers for Torah. Mipnei ma ovdei kochavim mizuhamin. Why is it that ovdei kochavim are impure? Shelo amdu ar harsinai. For they did not stand on Har Sinai. Shebisha sheba top of Kuf Mem Vav. Shebisha sheba nachash al chavo. Hitl ba zuama. So this goes back to an incredible dynamic. You know, the Rashi already quotes this idea that the nachash, when he was trying to convince Chava to go ahead and eat from the Eitz Das Tovara, he was doing so because he desired Chava. He desired Chava as a wife. He wanted to take her away from Adam. So apparently there was some level of intimacy between Chava and the nachash. And as a result, the spirit of impurity was infused into Chava. So what happened? Yisrael sha'amdu ala Har Sinai, pasku zuhu mason. So klal Yisrael usted al Har Sinai, so the impurity ceased from them. However, ovdei kochavim shelo amdu ala Har Sinai lo pasku zuhu mason. But ovdei kochavim, who did not stand on Har Sinai, and therefore again did not have the cleansing, purification process of Sinaitic revelation, the zuhama, the impurity resided within them. Amrali Rav Acha Bredi Rav Ala Rav Ashi. Garim. Gerim Mai. What about Gerim? So we'll say, so I understand now. I understand that Lemaisa, Klal Yisrael, there are impurities stopped at Har Sinai. Ovdei Kochavim, impurity never stopped. What do Gerim do? Somebody who converts, because somebody who converts, the Gemara is assuming, wasn't at Har Sinai. So how did they rid themselves of the Nachash impurity? This is incredible. My Amrali Afagav De'inu Lohavu, Mazlayu Havu. Even though the particular ger was not at Har Sinai, his mazl was there. His mazl was there, which means Rabosai, we have Rabbi Yitzhak Abedicha writes about this, actually in his commentary on Shavuos, on Megillah Surus, where the Rabbi writes about this idea that every neshama of every person who was going to convert was also by Maimon Har Sinai, was also there by Sinaitic revelation. And he uses this to explain sometimes the irrational decision that people have to convert. It makes no sense. So the Rebbe says, like, these neshamas were already marked, right? They were already pledged by the nations of the world, already by Har Sinai. See, here the Gemara says, Gemara calls it their mazal, or maybe Yitzchak called it the actual neshamas. But the idea is that the neshamas of Gerim participated in Kabbalah Satorah as well, and as such, they were also purged from the impurity of the Nachash. Dechsiv, Eisa Sher Yeshnu Po Imanu Omeit Hayom Lifnei Hashem Elokeinu. The Esa Sher Einenu Po Omedi Manu Hayom. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, the covenant is binding upon those who are standing with us and even those who are not standing with us. The Gemara understands, those who are not standing with us, obviously the Pashup Shad as it refers to future generations, we're all bound by the promise, by the commitment made at Har Sinai. But here the Gemara understands, it also refers to Gerim, those who would ultimately eventually join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. Pligud Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. And this argues Rabbi Abba Kahana, because what does Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana say? Don't Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, at shlosh hadoros lo paska zuama. For the first three generations, so the impurity of the Nachash did not leave the Jewish people, or the family of Avram Avinu. Why? What happened? Avram holy des Yishmael. Supposedly this is incredible. So you know, we always have this kasha in general about how such great people had certain kinds of children. Again, it's an ongoing shaila. But how is it that Avram has a Yishmael and Yitzchak has an Esav? So the Gemara attributes those children to the impurity of the Nachash in Techava. So the Gemara says, that's why Avram has a Yishmael, Yitzchak holy this Esav, Yaakov holy Yudbeis Shvatim Shalo Hayabem Shum Dofi. Yitzchak, on the other hand, the Gemara calls this Mitaso Shlema, his bed was complete. All of his children were righteous. So we'll say, so the point over here is Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana is arguing that in fact the impurity, the zuama of the Nachash, in fact ended by Yaakov Avinu. So you have a machlokes. This is a machlokes. When did the impurity of the Nachash leave Am Yisrael? So one opinion says Har Sinai. Second opinion says Yaakov Avinu. Good. Mishnah. Shover Adam Esachavis Lechol Himen Grogeres. Grogros. So a person could go ahead and smash open a barrel in order to go ahead and retrieve pressed figs. Ubiavachli is kavin lasos kli. So this is an interesting discussion now. This gets into the discussion about opening up utensils. That when opening up a utensil, one must take great care and concern not to fashion an opening. Right? The act of fashioning an opening, according to some, is bona, is building. Although some reject the idea that building could apply to Kalim. And others explain that it's makib epatish. It's like the final hammer blow. So the Mishnah says, if you want to open up a barrel in order to go ahead and get out your pressed figs, you can do so. But halacha lemaisa, you have to have kavanah not to make a kli, right? Not to make a formal opening. Ve'inokvin megufa shel chavis. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, you also can't go ahead and make a hole in the seal of a barrel. We'll discuss exactly what this means. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Einok from negufa hadavuka bepeachavis." If you have a lid that is sealed to the barrel itself, lasos nekev elenote leskula aval kinokav la metakim pisa. So, if you could imagine, you have a barrel, you have a lid to the barrel, and the lid is attached to the barrel with a seal. The Mishnah is seemingly saying you can't make a hole in the seal because the act of making a hole in the seal is fashioning an opening. That's tikkun mana. That's makke bepatish. So if you want to access the contents of the barrel, you just have to lop off the top. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, v'cham matirim. The Chum, on the other hand, say that no, it's mutter. It's mutter. And I will say, ultimately, again, the Chum say it's mutter because it's not the normal derech. That's not normally how you go ahead and you make an opening in a kli. For lo yikavena mitzida, you should not go ahead and pierce a hole in the side of the barrel. Again, we'll see exactly what that means. If you already have an opening in the barrel, you shouldn't plug the opening with wax. With wax, why not? Because Rabbi said you'll end up smoothing out the wax. Remember, taking a solid mass and smoothing it is a problem of mimareach, of smoothing on Shabbos. For example, that's why, well, one of the reasons, right, we don't brush our teeth on Shabbos with toothpaste, because the act of taking toothpaste, or for that matter, using stick deodorant, is going ahead and taking something that's solid and smoothing it out. You can't do that on Shabbos. So if you have an opening in the barrel, halacha lemaisa, you can't go ahead and close it off with wax. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, maisa balifni Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. There was once a story, an episode that happened to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, ba'aref, that's a place. Medina Rashi says, Va'amar choshishani lo mechata. So apparently, again, somebody brought this issue to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and Rabbi Yochanan, about somebody who plugged a hole in a barrel with wax. Rabbi Yochanan said, I think he might have violated in Issur D'oraisa. So we'll say, what a schus it is to mention Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's name tonight. You know, again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is a large reason why we're here today. He's the one who mamish saved Am Yisrael in the Rabbi Akiva, in the aftermath of the second Korban. It was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai who instituted all so many of the halachos that we have today. Zecher l'miktosh, zecher l'churban. He allowed us to mourn in a healthy way, while at the same time anticipatorily pine for the Bayish Lishi. Neshama Shlav and Aliyah. Amr Raboshia, Sasrat Digimara, says Raboshia, Lo Shanu Ela Drusos. So says Digimara, when we say that you could take figs out of a barrel, that's only pressed figs. Ava Mifurados Lo. But if your barrel contained like loose figs, we'll call it, loose separated figs, you can't open up the top of the barrel. Now, we'll say, now what's happening over here? What the Gemara is saying is like this. The reason that you're allowed to go ahead and take off the top of the barrel to get out pressed figs is, how do you take off the top of a barrel? With a knife. With a knife. Now, since you're already permitted to move the knife in order to go ahead and separate out the figs, you could also go ahead and move the knife in order to go ahead and lop off the top of the barrel. But if, for example, the figs themselves were loose figs, not pressed together, then you would not need a knife. And because you don't need a knife for the figs, you would not have license to move the knife to lop off the top of the barrel. Rabbi said, this is reflective of the view of Rabbi Nechemiah, because Rabbi Nechemiah, as we're going to say, holds that a kli, a utensil, could only be moved on Shabbos if it's going to be used in its primary fashion. To which the Gemara says, "Umifurados lo, is that true? If the figs aren't pressed together, you can't pick up a knife to lop off the top of the barrel. Why not? Mesvei, Reb Shimon Eliyahu Omer, maybe Adam Esachavishayin Amatiz Rosha B'Sayif. You could bring a barrel of wine and lop off the top of the barrel with a sword. Umanicha lifnei Archim b'Shabbes ve'ino choshesh, and you could go ahead and serve the wine to the guests, and there's no problem. So we'll say, so you see that you're allowed to move the knife, even if you don't need the knife for the contents, but you just need the knife to remove the lid. Hahi Rabbanon. So that reflects the view of the Rabbanon. I will say, because the Rabbanon say that halacha lemaisa, any kli could be used, even if not for its intended purpose, as long as the purpose that you're using it for is mutter. Versus Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah halacha lemaisa holds masnisin Rabbi Nechemiah. Our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Nechemiah, who holds that a kli, a utensil, could only be moved on Shabbos for its primary purpose. So therefore, again, if you have pressed figs, I'm going to need the knife anyway. So once I'm allowed to pick up the knife for the pressed figs, once it's already in my hand, I can lop off the top of the barrel. My duchkid, Rabbi Yoshia, look me, my sister, Rabbi Nechemiah, or Bedrusos. So I don't understand, why does Rabbi Yoshia feel compelled to set up the Mishnah according to Rabbi Nechemiah, and therefore dafk with pressed figs? Look him up, b'mefuradlos v'rabbanon. Let him set it up as a case of where the figs are separate, and let it reflect the view of the Rabbanon. Amarava masnisa kishisa, because the Mishnah was problematic for Boshia. My area, the tiny grogros. Why did the Mishnah dafka choose grogros? Why did the Mishnah have to say that it's a barrel filled with pressed figs? Why not just say it's a barrel filled with figs? Listen, peiros, just say fruit. Rather, you have to say that the Mishnah in Achinami just reflects the view of Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi will say, so therefore, again, not to the halacha lemaisa. I mean, it's halacha lemaisa. You are permitted to go ahead and pick up a knife and lop off the top of a barrel to get the contents in it. You are allowed to do that. But again, the way Rabbi Oshia is setting it up is, it reflects the view of Rabbi Nechemiah. And the reason you could take the knife to lop off the top of the barrel is because you're permitted to pick up the knife in the first place because you needed to cut apart pressed figs. But according to the Rabbanan, it doesn't matter what the contents of the barrel are. A knife can be moved, even if not for its primary usage. Tanya chada, chos lo shel grogros, v'shel tmarim, matir umafkia v'chotech. So we'll say, so one brisa says as follows, chos los. So Rashi points out over here, chos los is a basket. So if you have a basket that you normally use to hold figs, right? Or dates. Matir, you could untie the basket. Mafkir, you could unravel it. V'chotech, and you could cut it apart. V'tanya idach, another brisa says, matir, you are permitted to untie it. Avalo mafkir, but you can't unravel it. V'lochotech, and you can't cut it. Lo kashya, and again, I will say once again, it's not a contradiction. Harabanon, harabi Nechemya. Two different opinions. Disanya, Rabbi Nechemya Omer, afilu tarvot, vafilu talis, vafilu sakin. Even if you have a spoon, or even if you have a cloak, or even if you have a knife. Ein nitalin, elo letzorech tashmishon. We also remember again, this is Rabbi Nechemya's shita, which is a very dramatic shita in Hilchos Mukta, which is that a utensil can only be moved, not just for a permitted purpose, but for its singularly designated purpose. So even though you could use a particular utensil a number of permitted ways, Rabbi Nechemya only permits you to move it for its particularly designated purpose. Bamiyim Rav Sheshes, Maul Mivras Chavisa Biburtia Bishapsa. Can you go ahead and lunge a spear into the side of a barrel in order to make an opening? Is that permitted? So what's the shaila? Do we say lepischa kamechavin v'aser? Do we say, well, your intention is to fashion an opening, and fashioning an opening in a barrel is problematic on Shabbos? O dilma la'ain yofe kamechavin v'shari? Or maybe really all you want is what? Really, what you just want to do is create a larger opening so as to allow the contents to flow out a little bit better. In which case, it's not aser. Amalei lepischa kamechavin v'aser. We assume that if somebody is jabbing a spear into the side of a barrel, his intention is to fashion an opening, and therefore it will be aser. Maybe Adam chavish shal yayin umatiz rosha b'sayif. Shigamliel says a person could bring a barrel of wine and lop off the top of the barrel with a sword. So again. Hasam vade la'ayin yofa kamechavin. Again, if you're lopping off the entire top, then obviously your intention is to be able to get more of the contents out faster. Hacha. But Rabbosai, in the case of the spear, if your intention was to just make a larger opening, there are better ways to make, easier ways to make a larger opening than jabbing a spear into the side of the barrel. Good. So again, you see the theme that's developing, that halacha lemaisa, you can go ahead and take off the top of the lid of a barrel on Shabbos. Even though, there was the barrel, the lid, and the lid was attached to the barrel with a seal around it, you could remove that seal in order to go ahead and open up the barrel on Shabbos. What's the logic? The logic is very simple. Halacha lemaisa, remember again, that is all made to be open. It's supposed to be open. So because it's supposed to be opened, therefore, halacha lemaisa, you're permitted to reopen it on Shabbos. So we'll say, you understand this sugya. I know I still owe everybody the halacha lemaisa on the schita sugya, which I'm about to, but understand this sugya, by the way, this is the sugya of opening bottles and opening cans and opening containers on Shabbos. That's the shayla we're dealing with over here. Let's go right there. Ein nokvin megufa. So you can't go ahead and pierce the seal. Amar Rav Huna machlokes lemala. The machlokes is only ultimately, again, at the top of the barrel, the top of the seal. Aval minatzad divriya kol aser. But if you do it on the side, everyone agrees that halach lamaisa will be aser. V'hainu diktoni lo yikabena mitzida. And that's what it means when it says you should not pierce it on the side. Rav Chista says, no, machlokes minatzad. The machlokes is when you pierce it on the side. Aval al gabo, but to pierce it on top. Divriya kol mutter. Everyone agrees it will be mutter. And when we said in the Mishnah that you should not go ahead and pierce it on the side, what is that referring to? That's not talking about the seal. Hasam begufa dechavis. That's talking about the actual barrel itself. Tan Rabbanon ein nokvin nekev chadish b'Shabbos. So now, Bosa, listen to this. You cannot create a new opening in the barrel on Shabbos. Very important halacha. You can't create a new opening in a barrel on Shabbos. Vim bala hosif mosif. But if you want to add on to an already existing opening, that's permitted. V'yesh omrim, others explain, ein mosifin, you can't add on. V'shavin shenokvin nakav yashin l'chatilas. So let's listen to this. So two versions here. In the first version, you cannot make a new opening in a barrel on Shabbos, but if you want to enlarge an already existing opening, that's permitted. In the yesh omrim version, yesh omrim, ein mosifin, you cannot add on to an already existing opening, but what can you do? However, what you can do is, if you have an old opening that it appears like was plugged up, you could unplug it. You could unplug it on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, Maishna minka minekev chadash delo. So we'll say, so I don't understand. So why is it that you can't go ahead and make a new opening to come attacking Pischa? Because obviously the act of making a new opening is making a new opening. And fashioning an opening is a problem of either binyan, building, or tikun mana makib patisht. So the Gemara says, one second, asufei nami kam attacking Pischa. But if you enlarge or you add onto an already existing opening, is that not also creating an opening? Listen to this, Rabbi. It's actually quite fascinating. In reality, halacha lemaisi only chayiv doraisa for making an opening in a kli on Shabbos if the opening is large enough for things to come in and things to come out. However, the rabbanon who degazer mishum lul shel tarnagolin. The rabbanon came along and said that even for a smaller opening, it's still going to be aser because of the case of the chicken coop. The Rabbi said, now, what's the issue with the chicken coop? The Gemara says, the avid li'iluye yavira ulafuke havla. Interestingly enough, a chicken coop, when they used to make a hole in the coop, I guess the hole in the side of the coop, and the goal was to allow air in, but also to allow noxious air to go out. Vimbala hosif mosif asufi. So we'll say, and if you were to go ahead and enlarge that hole, vadai belul shel tarnagolim lo asila asufi. So we'll say, so ultimately again, really, midar I see only chayiv ultimately for making a hole that's large enough for stuff to go in and stuff to come out. They said that you're even chayiv for making a smaller hole because a smaller hole resembles the hole of a chicken coop. But here's what's interesting. You see, people don't realize that. People don't understand that the goal of the hole of a chicken coop is to allow air in and out. They only think that it's small enough to allow things in one direction. So Chazal therefore legislated and said, you know what? You really shouldn't go to make any kind of hole. But when it comes to a hole that already exists, the Rabbanan had no problem of allowing you to enlarge that hole. Why? Because no one's going to confuse that with the case of the chicken coop. Lo asila sufe, why not? Amud beis, mishum rikhsha. Because we'll say no one's going to go ahead and assume that because you could enlarge an already existing hole, that they're going to come to enlarge the hole, the opening in a chicken coop. Why is that? Because lamaisa is only so large you want to make the opening in the chicken coop because of rikhsha. Rikhsha, we'll say, are rodents. Rashi says, sheretz kigon nemaya chulda. So they don't want animals to get into the coop. So the Gemara says, omrim imosif. And others say, no, you can't even add on to an already existing opening. Zimnim telotakne meikara. Because sometimes you didn't properly fashion the opening from the beginning. Va'asid la'aruchebe. And you will come to go ahead and fix the opening even more. Darash Rav Nachman Mishram Yochanan. Halacha ki yesh omrim. So we'll say ultimately again, Rav Nachman said that halacha is like the yesh omrim, namely that halacha lemaisi, you can't make a new hole in a barrel, and you can't really even expand an already existing hole in the barrel as well. Shavin shenokvin nakav yashin lechatkila. But everyone agrees that you could reopen an old opening. So apparently you had an opening, the opening was stopped up. You could reopen that new opening. Amrav Yehuda Mar Shmuel Oshan Ela B'makom Asui L'Shaner. That's only true, Rabbi say. This is actually very interesting. There were two. There would be sometimes if you had a hole in a barrel of wine, let's say, you would want to plug up that hole not because you're afraid of the contents pouring out, but because you don't want the aroma of the wine to escape. So says Rabbi Yehuda. When do we say that if you have a hole that was plugged up, you could unplug it? That's only a hole that was plugged in order to maintain the wine aroma inside. That you could unplug. But if you went ahead and you had a hole that was plugged up in order to strengthen the barrel, Rashi says, so let's say you had a hole, Rabbi Yehuda, that was allowing the liquid to escape. You wanted to plug that hole in order to maintain the liquid. Then Rabbi Yehuda, if you plugged up that hole, you cannot unplug that on Shabbos. So, hechi dam l'shamer, hechi dam l'chazik. Rabbi say, how do you tell the difference between a hole that was made? So, Rabbi say, l'shamer means to guard the aroma. L'chazik means to strengthen the utensil. How do you know the difference? Amrav chista l'mala min ayayin zeh l'shamer. It's very simple. A hole that is above the wine level. Obviously, again, that hole was plugged in order to maintain the aroma. You can unplug that hole on Shabbos. However, l'mata min ayayin, below the wine level, halacha lemaisa, again, that was clearly made lechazik, to strengthen the utensil to prevent leakage. That you cannot reopen on Shabbos. Rava Amar, no, lemat minayin zer nami l'shamer. It could very well be, Rava says, that even wine, even a hole that was at wine level and then plugged up, could still be considered to be just safeguarding aroma. V'hech yidami l'chazik, so what's the type of hole that was plugged up to strengthen the barrel? Kigon shenikva lemata min hashmarim. So we'll say that's the type of hole below the dregs. Below the dregs of wine, Rashi, lemata min hashmarim. Eitzel shulyav shekol kovet hayayim nishnalav. So we'll say, it's interesting, apparently the way it works is, you know, you'd have wine, then you'd have dregs in the barrel, but apparently there was often some amount of wine underneath the dregs as well. So if you had a hole, you plugged up the hole underneath the dregs, then I'm going to say that is clearly an indispensable plug. Because if that plug is not there, then what happens? The contents simply pour out. That's called lechazek. That's the type of opening that you could not reopen on Shabbos. So Abai says, Rava, there's a brayso that supports you. Totally different discussion. So let's listen to this. If you have a home, and let's say the doorway in the home is sealed up. But Abba said, but what happened over here? What happened? So the Gemara says, well, actually nothing happened yet. So the Gemara says as follows. You have a home that opens up into a chatzar, or multiple homes which open up into a chatzar. So the halacha is, the Rashi points out, every home is automatically allocated the Dalit Amis in front of the doorway. Right? So however the rest of the chatzar is divided up, and usage is divided up, you are always automatically granted the Dalit Amis in front of your door, which makes sense. It will say that is true, even if your door is sealed. However, Paratz lo Pitsimin, will say, what happens if the doorway was removed? What happens if the doorway was removed and that area just sealed in? Ein lo Dalit Amis. So we'll say, at that point in time, it's as if the doorway does not exist. Once you remove the doorposts, the doorway does not exist, and therefore you no longer have the Dalit Amis in front of that area. So we'll say, here the Chilik, even though functionally there's no difference between case one and case two, right? In both cases one and two, what's happened? You've lost the use of the doorway. In case number one, so the doorway is there, it's just sealed up. In case number two, the doorway is no longer there and it's sealed up. In case number one, as long as the doorway is there, you still get the Dalit Amis in front of the doorway, even though it's not a functional entranceway. In case number two, once the doorpost was removed, Halacha lemaisa, everything is removed. It's no longer considered to be a door. You don't get the Dalit Amis. Similarly, Bayis Sasum in a matami called Sediva. So you're going to say, if you have a mace, a corpse inside of a home, and the doorway is sealed up, that doorway keeps the tumah inside. The tumah can't spread. Paratz as Petzimov. But if you remove the doorposts of the home, then what? Netame kol Sevivav. Then the tumah actually, interestingly enough, spreads all around. And I will say, so what does this have to do with our brayso? Because remember, again, what the Gemara was saying was as follows. Rava was saying that halacha lemaisa, the type of opening which is indispensable to the actual functionality of the barrel. If you seal that up, you cannot reopen that on Shabbos, because the act of reopening that is like creating a brand new opening. Versus an opening that was stopped up, that is not really so essential to the functioning of the barrel. Maybe it's essential to the, or maybe it's good for the quality of the wine. That type of opening, if it was plugged up, could be reopened. And the point that Abaye is making over here is, you see, when something is essential, it becomes an indispensable part of the entity. So a doorway is essential to a home. Once you remove the doorway, what happens? Essentially, the structure loses its identity as a home. Gufsa, what about gufsa? So I will say, listen to this. Rashi says, spigot. You want to go ahead and make a spigot. So we'll say, how did you make a spigot, a Talmudic spigot? You would insert the hollow reed into the barrel. So can you go ahead and make a spigot on Shabbos? A spigot on Shabbos. So Rav Aser, Rav said you can't do it. Shmuel says that it's mutter. Mechatech lechatchila to kol amalo pligi. So everyone agrees that lechatchila you cannot fashion a spigot on Shabbos. Everyone agrees with that. Durei to kol amalo pligi the shari. If you had a spigot and the spigot fell out, everyone agrees that you can put it back. So keep pligi. So we'll see what's the machlokas case. Dechaticha or dechascha velo metakna, where you cut the spigot. So we'll say, obviously, you have to like shave down the reed, but you didn't fully complete it. Manda Aser, so the one who says you cannot insert such a spigot into the barrel, will say, the Aser Gazrinan Dama Asila Mechtach Lechatrila, is nervous about using an incomplete spigot out of fear that you will come to complete it on Shabbos. Manda Shari Lo Gazrinan, versus the second opinion that says that it's mutter, is not worried. So even though the spigot is not totally complete, we're not worried that you're going to shave it down and complete it on Shabbos. Kitanoi. And reality is a machlokes tanoim. Ein chotchin shfoferes biyantiv. You can't go ahead and literally cut a tube on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we'll say this is the same idea. Shfoferes, in this case, this tube is also a spigot. Beitzarach lo amar b'Shabbos. And all the more so you can't make it on Shabbos. Nafla. What happens if the spigot was in the barrel on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, and then it fell out? Machzir no sob b'Shabbos, Beitzarach lo amar b'Shabbos. Well, it's a very interesting halacha. If the spigot was in and it fell out, you could put it back. So far everybody's agreeing. Halacha l'maisi, you cannot go ahead and lechatchila, go ahead and fashion and insert a spigot on Shabbos. If it was there and it fell out, you could put it back. Rabbi Yoshia is mekel. Sigmar says, Rabbi Yoshia is mekel on what? Rabbi Yoshia ahia. Ile ma'aresha. If you want to say that he's mekel on the first case, so the Gemara says, how could that be? Rabbi Yoshia is going to allow you to fashion a spigot and to actually put it in on Shabbos. How come attacking mana? You're fixing something, right? You are completing a utensil. Ela seifa. Rather, it has to be Rabbi Yoshia's mekel on the seifa. But on the seifa, Tanakam unami mishra kashari. The Tanakam was also mekel, right? That Allah lemaisa, if the spigot was in and it fell out, you could put it back. Ela dechaticha velometakna ikabenai. Rather, it must be that the machlokes is in Rabbi Yoshia and the Tanakama is what happens if you have a spigot that was cut to size but not fully finished. So again, apparently, like, I guess we'll say the way it would happen is you would make the spigot, you'd put it in the utensil, and then what you would realize is the additional, I guess, like shaving or altering of it that you would have to do to make it fit perfectly. So can you go ahead and utilize a spigot that was cut but was not totally, but was not completed? So what happened? Mar Savar Gazrina. So one opinion says, Tanakama was that you can't use it because we're afraid that you may come to finish it off on Shabbos. Umar Savar Boshe says, we're not worried about it. You can use it on Shabbos. Good. Darash Rav Shisha, Breid Rav Idi, Mishmeid Rav Yochanan, Halacha K'Rav Yoshia. That the Halacha follows Rav Yoshia. Namely, Rabbo said that as long as the spigot was finished, right, even though it wasn't totally cut down to size, we allow you to use it on Shabbos, and we are confident that you are not going to finish it, finish shaving it, or finish forming it on Shabbos. Im Haisa Nekuva. So we'll say, so remember again, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that if the barrel had an opening, lo yetin alei shayva, you should not go ahead and put wax in the opening, lest you come to go ahead and smooth out the wax. So says the Gemara, we'll say, watch this. Im ha'isen akuba mishcha. So we'll say, forget about wax for a moment. What about oil? Now we'll say, now the oil in this case is thick oil, like almost like a congealed type of oil. So can you use a thicker oil to go ahead and fill in the opening? So Rav Asr Shmuel Shari. Rav said you can't. Shmuel said you can. Man da Asr, the one who says that it's Asr, Gazrinim Mishum Shaiva, is nervous that if we allow you to use thicker oil, you'll come to use wax. Now, I will say, remember, even thicker oil is still a liquid. So there's no issue of memarech. Memarech is smoothing out is only an issue by a solid. So on a technical level, there's no issue using the oil. Rav says it's usher because we're afraid if we let you use the oil, you're going to come to use the wax. But the one who says you can use the oil is not concerned. No, just because you let you use oil doesn't mean you're going to come to use wax. Only Rav Shmuel, Barav Chanan Rav Yosef, Beferish Amrat Lon Mishmei Derav Mishcha Shari. You told us explicitly in the name of Rav that Halacha L'maaseh said the use of oil on Shabbos will be mutter. So we'll say it's interesting that Rambam actually codifies like Shmuel that Halacha L'maaseh won't let you use thick oil, lest you come to use wax. Amar Tavos Rishba, Amar Shmuel. So we'll say Tavos Rishba, that's his name. That's his name. So what happened? The Gemara says, Tavos Rishba, same name, Shmuel. Hai Tarfa Da'asa Aser. Well, so listen to this. Tarfa Da'asa, Rashi says, Loses Allah Shal Hadas, Benakav Hachabis, Sha'ala Asa Kimarze, Vahayayin, Zob Derachshan. Well, so listen to this. You can't take a leaf on Shabbos and use it as like a channel. Channel is the wrong word. Marzeh literally is a gutter. So we'll say, if you can imagine the image over here, is you have a hole in the barrel, but you need a way to get the wine from the barrel to my glass. So what do? I take almost like a funnel, right? I go ahead and I take a leaf. And I'm going to use leaf as like a gutter to go ahead and take the wine from the barrel into my cup. So Talbos Rishon saying to Shmuel, it's usher to do that. Usher to do that. So why? My timer, Rabbi Yerim Midifti, Omer Gzer Mishum Marzeh. It's a concern about constructing a marzeh. It's a marzeh. So we'll say, so again, constructing a gutter on Shabbos is actually problematic, right? It could be a problem of Maki Vipatish, it could be a problem of Bona, depending on how or where you're constructing the gutter. So we're concerned, so we'll say, if you can imagine, because I guess image-wise, that leaf looks like a gutter, right? The wine is flowing down from the gutter, from the leaf into the cup. So we're concerned that if we allow you to use the leaf, you're going to come to make a gutter on Shabbos. Rav Ashi Amar, Kazer Shem Yiktom. Rav Ashi says, no, it's much simpler. We don't want you using a leaf as a way, as a gutter on Shabbos, why, or as a funnel on Shabbos, because we're afraid that if we allow you to use it, what's going to happen? You're going to pluck it off the tree. My ben Av. So we'll say, what's the nafkamina? So ikabeinayu dekatimu manchi. So we'll say, obviously, the nafkamina would be in a case where the leaf is already detached from the tree. If the leaf is already detached from the tree, so again, if your concern is you're going to come to detach it, it's already detached. But if your concern is halacha lemaisa, that you may come to God and construct a gutter, that might apply even in the case of a detached leaf. Beis sadja, we'll listen to this interesting case. What about, now we'll say, beis sadja is felt padding. Felt padding. So Rashi says, levadin shekorin platrosh v'asuyin lekaplon tachtov b'makom ha'karakis. You're supposed to listen to this. What would you normally use this felt padding for? You would use it for underneath a pillow or underneath a mattress. So it gave extra cushioning, extra padding underneath a pillow or mattress. Rabbi said, listen to this. The shayla is, can you go ahead and wear this out on Shabbos into the Rishus HaRabim? Wear it as an article of clothing. So again, the padding was long. So can you go ahead and wear it as an article of clothing on Shabbos? Or if you were to do that, would that be an Isser Da'oraisa of Hotzah? So Rav Asr, Rav says you cannot wear it out on Shabbos. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Rav Asr lahavio derech malbush derech Rishus HaRabim kishum utaf bo. You cannot wear that out on Shabbos. You can't. You're not allowed to wear that out on Shabbos. Ushmuel Shari. Shmuel says that it's permitted to wear it as an article of clothing. So says the Gemara, let's qualify this. Birachin, the Chuli Amalo Pligi the Shari, with soft felt. Everyone agrees that it's mutter, because apparently that would be a little bit more normally worn as a garment. Bikashin, the Chuli Amalo Pligi the Aser, with rough felt. Everyone agrees that it's Aser, because no one would ever wear that as an article of clothing. Ay, Siki Pligi, where's the Machlokes? Bimitsiyai, the in between felt. It's not too rough, and it's not too soft. So the one who says that you can't wear it out on Shabbos because it's not really an article of clothing, it's padding for pillows and cushions, and therefore it looks like you're carrying a burden. And the one who says that it's mutter says, no, sometimes people do wear this. And even though it's not the normal use for this felt padding, halach l'maisa, it's not a masui and it's mutter. Interestingly enough, Rav's position that it's usr, was never explicitly stated by Rav, but was inferred by an action. We'll say, what happened? This is incredible. The Rav Ikla, listen to this story. With this, we're going to end. The Rav Ikla lahu asra, delo habile Ravcha. So we'll say, Rav was once invited somewhere to a particular city. He was invited to someone's home, and there was not enough room for all of the guests in the house. So what did Rav do? Nafik Yosef beKarmelis. He went and he sat outside, and he was sitting in a Karmelis. Aisule beSaja. So one of the students brought him some felt padding. They will say, now watch this. So they brought him felt padding. So how did the student get the felt padding from the house to Rav? He wore it. He wore it as a garment. So what happened? So the Gemara says, Aisule lo Yosef. Rav refused to use it. He wouldn't sit down on it. Man dechaza sover mishum de beSaja aser. So we'll say, the one who saw Rav refuse the felt padding assumed that what was Rav's position, that you cannot wear felt padding as clothing, and therefore he felt that the person who brought out the padding did something illegal, and Rav did not want to benefit from an illegal act on Shabbos. Velohi, but says, no, that's not what happened. The Rav achruzei machriz beSaja shari. So in reality, Rav actually felt that halacha lemaisa, you can go ahead and wear felt padding out on Shabbos because it could pass as a garment. So why didn't he want to sit on the padding? Umishum kavod rabosinu lo yashav alav. What was the problem? One of the Talmidim brought Rav some felt padding to sit on out of cover to Rav. What was the problem? There were other Rabbanim there and there wasn't enough felt padding for everyone. So Rav felt awkward sitting on the felt padding when the other Rabbanim would not have felt padding. And the Gemara says, Umanin, who are these other Rabbanim who were there? Rav Kahana v'Ravasi. So we'll see here this amazing Gemara, an incredible Gemara. So how is Rav's Shita gleaned? Right? We have Machlokis, Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, you can't go ahead and wear Beis Saj. You can't wear felt padding on Shabbos. And if you do so, it's Aser, right? You can't do it. And Shmuel says it's Mutter. And probably says to the Gemara, just so you should know, Rav never said this, but we inferred it. What did we infer it from? Because Rav was once in a Karmelist. One of the Talmidei Chachamim wore felt padding from the house to the Karmelist, and Rav wouldn't sit on the felt padding. What does that show you? That Rav holds that Beis Saj, felt padding, cannot be worn as a garment. But in fact, says Gemara, that's not what happened. Rav says it's mutter to wear felt padding out on Shabbos. But what happened? It was very nice that Talmud Chacham, that the Talmud brought it out for Rav, but there were other Rabbanim who wouldn't have, and Rav would not sit on the felt padding if the other Rabbanim did not have. We'll say two incredible lessons. First of all, the incredible anava, the incredible humility of Rav, that he did not in any way want to look more chashir in front of his colleagues. And also an incredible lesson in not jumping to conclusions based on what you see. Sometimes we see things in life. We see people do things. We see people say things. We see situations. And we think we have it all figured out. All figured out. I know exactly what he meant. I know exactly why he did it. I know exactly. I've got it all. I have it all figured out. And then I say things, do things, and take actions based on my assumed understanding of the circumstances. And it's happened to all of us in life, where then when you find out the real story, you realize that you are wrong. And sometimes we take pretty damaging actions based on assumptions we make. And when we find out that they were wrong assumptions, sometimes it's a little bit difficult to dial it back. Here the Gemara says, we thought Rav's Shita was one way because ultimately of a Maisa, but it turned out that Rav's actions were actually motivated by something totally different. Incredible Musar Haskil. Be very, very careful before you pass judgment on people and before you think that you have the right insight into any life situation. Because so often there's a sub-narrative. There's a subtext. There's something else that's going on. I don't have all of the facts. If we live life that way, then we won't jump to conclusions about situations. And most and more importantly, we won't jump to erroneous conclusions about one another. All right, we'll say Yashar Koyach. We'll stop over here for tonight. Tzidkas HaTzadik tomorrow morning at 5:45. When else do you have the great schos to get two dapim within 8 hours of each other? Absolutely incredible. Tzidkas HaTzadik 5:40. Sorry?
I said we just start now.
Just start now. Just now. I know, but then it defeats the purpose a little bit. You know, daf yomi, you know, it's tomorrow. Shkach HaMosai. I'm sorry?
It beats building a sukkah now.
It's building a sukkah now. That is true. That is true. All right, HaMosai. Shkach to everyone for joining us this evening. Shkayach to have everyone on Zoom. Beautiful participation tonight. I'm looking at you, by the way. I'm just looking at the computer. That's not looking away from the Zoom chevra. Have a wonderful evening, Rabbi Osei. See everybody tomorrow morning.
So Rav Shita changed? Rav said it was Aster and then he...
Rav never said it.